How long is he gonna do this for?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I don't want to lose your energy. I feel like this is gonna be the Amy episode.
Bah.
So, Amy, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
How are you enjoying your first ban list update?
It feels like?
Welcome to Ink a Podcast, Play a Podcast. I believe we're calling this episode zero because this was not going to be the first episode that we released.
Nope.
And then we had some news that we felt like we needed to talk about. We recorded an episode that was very close to bans a little bit ago. And with the bannings that happened, it felt right to record something additional to talk specifically about this week's bannings. And kind of give more context to what that means moving forward. So when the bans came out, what was it? Tuesday this week?
Yes, Tuesday.
I texted you
You sure did.
and I said, "Oh my God. Oh my God." And I might have used some other language. And I like that you immediately knew to look at the Lorcana news. You didn't ask questions and you clearly hadn't seen it, but the next text from you was also along the lines of, "Oh my God."
Wouldn't it be funny if I had actually already seen it and I just didn't feel like saying anything to you about it? I was like,
And you were like, "Whatever. This isn't a big deal."
whatevs.
Yeah. He'll find out when he finds out.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be rude. And also, I know that that's not what happens because we've had some breaking news type of situations before, and you have immediately texted me.
Yeah, of course, 'cause nobody else cares in my life except for you.
Yeah, same.
People don't know that my whole life changed on Tuesday.
Yeah, my wife was just here and acting as though the world wasn't different. And I was just like, "Sorry, honey, I gotta, like, tonight, I'm just like, sorry, honey, I can't watch a movie tonight. I have to record my podcast that nobody's listened to yet."
Breaking news. Like, it must be reported on.
We have a live reaction for what was going down on Tuesday. Ravensburger Steve, Rav Steve, hopped in the Discord with a statement on Tuesday and also a Q&A at the end of the day. And we were also in the Discord reading it and responding to it on a recording of our own. Because this was such a breaking news situation, I actually called Amy and she was still at the office, so she did not have her actual mic. So when we cut over to that, you might notice that the audio quality is a little different. But we had to do it for the people,
Yeah,
you know?
we wanted our real, true, in the moment reactions.
Pure reactions. And that was a heavy use of "we" you just did. I
I guess.
loved hearing your reactions to your very Amy's first ban list update. It is, oh God, they grow up so fast.
Oh, God.
So you're gonna hear Amy, I mean, I was gonna say you're gonna hear Amy express emotions, but
I think I'm
this is
offended
episode
right
zero.
now.
But this is episode zero.
Yeah,
And
so
so
later you
I
go
was gonna say for the
back
first
and.
time, yeah, you're gonna be like, "Oh yeah, like that was really weird." Man, Amy was really fired up.
Yeah, well, it's gonna be really something on that re-listen.
So that's what you're going to hear first. And then when the audio quality comes back to normal, that is going to be after our live reaction. And we're going to talk some more about it.
There are still many answers to Diablo. Although Diablo is powerful and we want powerful cards in the game, we will be watching and address if needed. I mean, I think it's really weird to talk about Flaversham as if he is not easily removable. Yes, he has a... What's it called?
Are you trying to figure out the Lorcana version?
Yes, I'm trying to figure out the Lorcana version. A willpower.
I think it would probably just be a play effect.
What?
An on-play effect?
No. No, I'm talking about how he is removed. I'm saying his willpower or whatever it is in this game is 6.
Oh. Yeah.
And... yes, that means that straight up challenging him, it's harder to get rid of him, for sure. But there are lots of cards that get rid of him without him having even tapped. You know, you can brawl him, you can Sisu him.
Yeah.
You can Madame Medusa him. You can Big Sisu him.
Have you noticed the theme
with all those cards that you mentioned? Sure, but so?
Yeah, I mean, I agree to a certain extent. But I think you'll find that outside of Ruby, I don't know that there was a way to get rid of him.
You can kick Cloud Kicker
before he drew 4 cards.
Kick Cloud Kicker.
I said before he drew 4 cards,
he draws 2.
And then they replay him next turn and draw another 2.
You do Kit Cloud Kicker, and then you play Sudden Chill.
And then you play Bend to My Will.
Yes. Exactly.
There you go. Very clean answer.
I am not saying... that he is easy to get rid of. I'm saying that Steve's response is saying his response to Flaversham over Diablo is there are still many answers to Diablo. There are still many answers to Flaversham. That is all I'm saying.
Okay.
Don't you be laughing at me.
As for Rabbit being bounced, in order to continue to draw cards, it requires a bit more of investment by the player, either in ink or opportunity. Also, drawing cards is much more in line with Amethyst's ink identity.
Oh, my Prince least John favorite always... argument!
Prince John has always had different ways to counter him. We believe that players will be able to find ways to interact with Prince John in that deck. Although, or as noted before, though, we will always be watching.
Oh, I hate it. I'm sorry, but the argument that we're not playing the cards the way they wanted us to play the cards is so infuriating to me. Like, oh man, wait a second. Where did they come up with this idea? No, ban it. It's over. They can't play it that way anymore. That's bullshit. So this, they're okay with Rabbit because it's much more in line with Amethyst's ink identity. Wow. I can't even. Ugh. Do you plan to look at Discord? No. All right. Do you plan to look at Discard as an archetype and consider adjustments for it as well? We plan on being very cautious with Discard as an archetype. discard as a mechanic in card games that should exist, but within reason and to a limit where the game remains fun. Basically, though, the problem is that items are supposed in Steve's world, I suppose items and ramp are Blue's identity, Sapphire's identity. But ramping is infinitely harder without card draw. And so they, by banning Flaversham, they have guaranteed that discard is going to be like the way to go, which means that Sapphire is screwed because they can't beat discard without card draw. They won't be able to ramp. If they can't ramp and they can't draw cards, then there's no room for Blue.
So I think the idea is that Sapphire's core identity is the ramping color, and Amethyst's core identity is the drawing color. If you want access to, you know, the others have identities also. So if you want access to two colors worth of core identities, those are the two colors that you have to play. And so I think the idea is with the Flaversham ban that Sapphire was able to draw better than it should have been able to, and then also use an additional color to spread out their game plan. So Sapphire alone was able to ramp, which should create card disadvantage, but at the same time was able to draw cards to mitigate the inherent disadvantage of ramping. I think a good question to ask is, you know, Hyrum has been around for a while, and so I think people are asking, why now?
Right.
Why did this happen? Why was Hyrum the one that was chosen? Saphsteel has been a deck for a while, and Ruby Sapphire. They've both been decks for a while. They've always used Hyrum. This was the moment that they decided to do something about it outside of printing other cards. So an argument could be made that with the printing of the new Bell, the printing of Scrooge McDuck, and the printing of the new Tamatoa, that caused these Sapphire decks to really explode in their power. It could be argued that those three cards are more of the culprit than Flaversham. And I think that that is a fair argument. Obviously, if you were to ban all three of those cards, we would go back to the same power level that we had before, right?
Yeah.
But I also think that it is valuable to look at, if you're going to have an oppressive deck that as a game designer you want to answer something out of, I think it's helpful to look at it as a whole to see what actually is making this tick and work. And you could come to the conclusion, okay, yeah, it is just the new cards. Like, it completely changed the way that these decks worked. I think it's also not unreasonable to come to the conclusion that it's an older card that is making it work, and to do something about an older card, even if leading up to it, you hadn't done anything about it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does.
So, Amy, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
How are you enjoying your first ban list update?
You know what it feels like? You know what it feels like?
What?
Have you seen, like, the Uno game tweeting about the rules for playing Uno, and the public basically being like, sit down, Uno, we've got it from here.
Yeah. The public being like, we don't recognize your authority in this situation. I'm reading the letter that they posted, right? And I think so what you're taking exception to is the line that says, probably the couple lines that are talking about Fortisphere. Fortisphere is banned because we feel it places too much emphasis on players using items in steel, which is not aligned with the Ink's core strengths. Rather than fostering strategic depth and diverse gameplay, playing these cards together often led to predictable and one-sided outcomes. We did also discuss and consider banning Popsicle. We believe that Popsicle without Hiram Flaversham, Toymaker, still provides value to decks attempting a more item-based strategy. This is in line with what we feel Sapphire should do, and thus the reason for removing Fortisphere while leaving Popsicle eligible. Is that the part that you don't really like? You don't like that?
Yep.
So,
I take,
you know,
it's great exception to that. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it's funny because the color pie or ink identities was something that I had put on our list to talk about in a future episode earlier today before that happened. And so I'm wondering if that maybe should be part of our next episode, and we can dive into it further.
I don't have any problem with there being ink identities. That's fine. But if you create a card that you think is going to be serving one purpose,
mm-hmm.
but then people see it and think, ah, dang, I know how I'm going to use that for my deck. Like, you don't get to say, or I guess you do get to, but you shouldn't get to say, oh no, that's not what we meant. Never mind, you can't have that card anymore.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. It does feel kind of like that Uno situation that you were talking about. Only like kind of reversed, because it would kind of be like if Uno came out and was like, hey, you know all those Uno tournaments that you go to? Well, the green zero is no longer allowed to be played. But so here's my question is, I think it's weird that Fortisphere, being such an innocuous card, got banned. And I think that that's a lot of people's reaction, is like, Fortisphere, what, why? So I get it when it's like, well, what do you mean steel doesn't get items? Like, that doesn't make any sense. They clearly do. They have items, you know? But I guess my question is that, like, I don't want to fall into the slippery slope, but if they printed an emerald card that banished a character with 2 power or less, I think if they printed that card, that would be a net negative for the game, because Emerald doesn't do that. And so I would expect them, one, to not print that card, but two, if it does manage to sneak by somehow, I would expect them to ban that card because it's not in line with the Ink identity. And so I think the statement that was put out was saying Fortisphere was never used to give a character bodyguard. It was only used in Sapphire decks to draw cards, or in Sapphire decks to cheat out a Scrooge, which is not Sapphire's, or which is not Steel's identity.
I think that there are plenty of cards, don't you dare ask me to name any of them, that cross identities. And as far as Fortisphere is concerned, I basically feel like they are lying, because I think that that was because of Belle and Scrooge. They gave too much to Blue, and so they had to take it back somehow.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to take it back from their brand new cards. Yep. The easiest thing to do was get rid of Fortisphere, which doesn't fit the ink identity, and also conveniently makes it harder to play both Belle and Scrooge.
Yeah. I think that if we were to give Ravensburger the benefit of the doubt, I think that there are arguments for targeting Fortisphere in order to bring down Sapphire Steel and Ruby Sapphire. Well, obviously not Ruby Sapphire. In order to bring down Sapphire Steel, I believe there are arguments for targeting Fortisphere. But I think if you were not to give Ravensburger the benefit of the doubt, I think it is far more likely that you are correct and they did not want to ban Belle, and they did not want to ban two Sapphire legendaries from their most recent set. And so they chose a card that basically has no overlap with any other deck in order to weaken it. And in that way, I think it's a good ban, because there's almost no splash damage. There are probably a handful of players, I know that there's some in the Discord right now, who are just like, well, I was using Fortisphere in my Purple Steel deck, you know, to give my whatever bodyguard so that I could activate the whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that that's very cool. And it's a shame that that had to happen as like collateral damage. But Fortisphere is really the only card that they could have hit without that collateral damage. Okay, so welcome back. We all heard some strong feelings about the ban and about Steve's response to that.
I think the first thing that needs to be said about the Q&A is that it was very cool that it happened so quickly, and like that they were like, oh, people are gonna want to talk about this.
And he was on there for like 2 hours.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was announcement, and then a little while later, statement, and then a little while later, live Q&A. So like,
yeah.
Like, no, they didn't jump straight into the Q&A. I think that's fine. And in fact,
yeah,
it's smarter, because it gave people the opportunity to learn about it and then mm-hmm. have questions.
Process their emotions.
Yes. And
so I'm seeing, I think it was posted around noon central, so 10 a.m. Pacific, so right at the beginning of the day. And then they did a statement at around 1:30 Pacific, and then they did a Q&A at 3 p.m. Pacific.
Yeah.
And then that went until 5 p.m. I feel like when Ravensburger talks to us, they talk.
Yeah.
The problem is getting them to talk to us.
Mm-hmm,
But yeah, I mean, like, you know what? I'm not gonna knock it for what we got. Like, what we got was good. And whether or not you agree with the bans or not, I think their reasoning was consistent. It was logically consistent. So, and opening yourself up to a Q&A system that is, you know, going to be adversarial is nice.
Yeah, they knew, they had to know. Well, it's interesting because, I mean, I've listened to a lot of things since the ban, and of course it's all stuff that was recorded prior to. So I can hear in these people's voices that they would welcome a Flaversham ban.
yeah.
And so, but then it's all the Sapphire players who are the upset ones. I suppose some Steel players as well, but I feel like it's the Sapphire players.
Right.
Although they're all like, what did Fortisphere ever do to you? In Steel.
Yeah, Fortisphere was the linchpin in my my Ruby Steel deck that made it function, and without it, I can't play that deck anymore. It's like, man, that is some unfortunate splash damage for you specifically. I am so sorry about that. Like, that, I am positive that that was not intentional, but you have to understand, like, you have to realize that Fortisphere was being used in different, worse ways.
Yeah. And freaking preaching to the choir, like, there are gonna be a lot of Sapphire people who have to figure out, like, reconfigure everything and maybe abandon Sapphire entirely. So,
yeah.
Sorry, one person playing Ruby Steel.
I mean, that Ruby Steel player is in good company now.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah. I feel for you. There's a lot of us.
Yeah. Yep. I'm glad I never settled on a deck for this meta. So now I'm also within that group. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's before. Go ahead.
No, you're good. I was moving on.
I was just gonna say it's fairly upsetting to me that I had, like, just succumbed to the okay, fine, Ruby Sapphire is my deck. It is where I'm at. Like, I'll stop screwing around.
Right.
And
yeah.
And that was seriously like 2 weeks ago.
If not. if that, like.
Yeah. And so, having finally come to terms with that and being like, I guess I don't have to try everything. Then yeah. Now I'm like, okay, I wish I'd tried everything so that I knew where I was going now.
Well, you know, it's a brave new world. We don't really know what the metagame is going to be. So it's difficult to say where we should go from here, you know, in terms of our own personal deck choices, because we're not sure what the metagame is going to look like. And without that, we're kind of just going based off of vibes, which can lead you astray at times when you're actually competing, you know. Can't just go based off of your pet deck if you are if you're interested in competing and you're interested in winning, you have to go based off of what the metagame looks like and what what even is the metagame anymore. People have been saying that it's going to be a very heavy discard meta.
Right. Which, honestly, before I started hearing that, I'm sitting here thinking maybe I just try to adjust to Ruby Sapphire without Flaversham. But
right.
I don't see it with discard as as the new leader.
Yeah. Well, so here's my 2 cents when it comes to that. I think people are going to fall into the trap of taking a Ruby Sapphire deck that now only has 56 cards in it and trying to find 4 cards to add in. Whether or not they are the bad versions of Hyrum, the Hyrums at home, you know, or there's something completely different. I think that's a trap. And I think what you need to do is that Ruby Sapphire as a color pairing is still fairly powerful. Like, you're still doing powerful things, but now, and I don't want to trigger you, but, Ruby Sapphire might have the same issue that Ruby Steel has now, which is Ruby Steel is a color pairing that I would say maybe still, but definitely before the printings of the dual ink cards, Ruby Steel fell short because it lacked card draw. Because Ruby and Steel don't typically draw a lot of cards. Or if they do, they have to go about it in roundabout ways. Sapphire Ruby may have the same sort of issue where you still have the same powerhouses that you had before. You have the Mauis, you have the Tamatoas, you have Lucky Dimes, but now you need to figure out, okay, how am I drawing cards? And before, that answer was very, very, very easy. And so I think if you still want to do Ruby Sapphire, you need to break it down to its bones. And you need to figure out what is the new strategy of Ruby Sapphire going forward.
Right, because I actually think it's a two-part problem that you've lost your key drawing mechanic, which then, second part, is also how you have been inking like crazy. You're not going to find another drawing mechanic that matches Flaversham. If you did, then it would be banned.
That is what we have learned this week. Sorry, just matching energy.
Yes. So instead, I think, like, maybe you find another drawing mechanic that's not as good, but that means you also have to change the way that you ink. So I haven't gone deep into it because I really think I'm more likely to switch decks. But, sure, you know, I think about the different ways rather than sacrificing a draw, like a card in hand, that we used to get cards into the inkwell. You know, like the teensy Grandma Tala, who is on board and until she's not, and then she goes into your inkwell. It's not great.
Or one jump ahead.
That is still effectively you're putting that card in your inkwell. Like,
that's true. Yeah.
So, I mean,
but you're not down 2 cards like you are with like Teepo, quote, you know, sort of, or Fishbone Quill. You know, depletes right. a card from your hand.
Yeah.
Teepo
yeah.
depletes a card from your hand. Grandma Tala doesn't. One Jump Ahead doesn't.
There's the Mickey Mouse. I don't remember which Mickey it is. Like,
oh, Inspector. Yeah. Detective something.
Detective, yeah. It feels like an insane reversion, but those are the ones that not only do you have a body on board, but you're also not down a card when you ink.
I'm on Dreamborn right now, and I filtered it for Ruby Sapphire, and if it contains the word draw in it. So immediately jumps out is Chicha. So
sure.
Chicha's a very powerful draw engine.
Chicha is you draw the second time you ink in a turn, is that right?
Correct, yes. So kind of to my point again is that people in previous metas were trying Chicha. You had to build your deck around it so that you could maximize how many times that you're inking twice in a turn. But that kind of, you know, that is my exact point, which is you're not just going to be able to slot in four Chichas to your previous Ruby Sapphire deck and call it good. Like, you might be able to get it sometimes, but, you know, you have to build it with that in mind. Reoccurring draw. I mean, we still got Maurice's Workshop, but that's heavily reliant on items, and I don't know that Ruby Sapphire is really into that idea.
Yeah, that, again, would be a pretty strong restructuring.
Yeah, and the biggest one that I see, aside from Chicha, is Royal Tantrum. Four cost, uninkable, banish any number of your items, then draw a card for each item banished this way. Interesting, because, one, you are probably still playing six cost Tamatoa.
Right.
Two, you could be playing the new, like some people were doing at the beginning of this format, is that they could be playing the new Ruby Sapphire Bell. And it's for each item in your discard, you pay one less to play this character using her shift ability. And when she quests, you can put up to three item cards from your discard on the bottom of your deck and gain one lore for each item moved this way. So you can have popsicles, you can have Vitalispheres, you could have workshops, you could have unconventional tool. And I don't know what the math looks like on getting a turn one bell anymore, but that is an excellent target for the Ruby Sapphire Bell, that if you are Royal Tantruming on turn four in order to draw two, three cards, it's not going to be as good. But I wonder if this balances out that color pairing to the point where, I mean, we've all played against Ruby Sapphire. There are so many games where I'm like, God, why do you still have five cards in hand? How is this possible? Like,
yeah, no, absolutely. There's a reason why I like to play it, because I like to
play. Yeah. Yeah. Of course.
And I see where you're going with all of this, and honestly, I can see something there. It is so different from the Ruby Sapphire that at least I've been playing.
This ain't gonna be your mama's Ruby Sapphire.
But it means it doesn't really matter. Like, if I'm trying to stay with Ruby Sapphire, the reason would be to have similar gameplay, you know? Like,
sure.
So this is so different that I might as well just pick whatever.
Well, and yes, that's true. So I think going in with a blank slate is, you know, to any deck, whatever you decide, going in with a blank slate with, you know, baseline expectations is going to be the best way forward. You know, Ruby Sapphire offers a particular strategy, a particular way of playing that you are not going to find in other decks. You know, ramping a whole bunch is really fun, and having the spot removal that Ruby has, and having like, okay, I'm going to answer everything that you have, and I will eventually beat you.
Great Stone Dragon. I just needed to say that one.
Is that the answer?
You're
like, you know what? I remembered it. And now I'm fully on board for Ruby Sapphire again.
Yeah, that card exists. I'm good. That's another one that is a way to ramp without eating your cards.
Did you see all the people calling for other bans?
Oh yeah.
This week.
Yeah.
What were some of your favorites? My favorite was seeing somebody call for a Hidden Cove ban.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like, okay. All right. Sure. Why not? We have a little treat at home.
No, I don't remember specific ones, but I remember like just thinking, come on, guys. Like,
yeah,
this is not supposed to be like opening the floodgates.
Right.
They are trying to address, I mean, look, I don't want the changes to my deck, but I can understand the need to take a step in, you know, like,
yeah,
I was watching a tournament this past week where I think it was 60% of the meta for that was either Ruby Sapphire or Sapphire Steel, and 7 of the 8 of the top 8 were Ruby Sapphire Sapphire Steel.
Yeah,
like that's
tough. That is a demoralizing metagame right there.
Yeah, and so I think it's I have opinions about how they went about it, but I don't really blame them at all.
No.
But it doesn't mean that means they should start banning things left and right. Like,
yeah,
they were addressing a specific issue.
Somebody in the Discord or on Facebook or whatever was saying that they should have banned something from each of the colors to like keep it even. I don't buy that argument at all.
I mean, the only way that would make sense is if each set we've gotten something equally powerful in each, you know,
like, right.
But that's not what's been happening. And
that doesn't happen. Like, everything is so context dependent that, you know, there are some legendaries out there that you look at and you're like, how is this not seeing play? Like, look at this thing. Like,
right.
But, you know, for one reason or another, it just isn't. And so, yeah, I don't buy this fairness argument. If, yeah, especially like people are talking about Ruby Amethyst. Now, this is, correct me if I'm wrong, because we're getting into my bias territory now. But Ruby Amethyst, people are complaining about and were complaining about and are again. It was like every DLC. it was a whole bunch of really big tournaments where Ruby Amethyst would have a really bad conversion rate, and there'd be like one or two in the top 32 or top 16 or whatever, and then it would just win. And people are like, oh god, Ruby Amethyst won again. On Tuesday, people were talking about, well, what are we going to do about Rabbit? What are we going to do about Goat? What are we going to do about Fox? And it's like, the answer's nothing, because Ruby Amethyst was a very good deck, and maybe will be again. And it's very good, it's very consistent, and it has a very flat win rate across the board, which is why it was so good. Was never 7 of the 8 decks in any given tournament.
Right.
Any given real tournament, you know? It was never, maybe even set 2. But, like, not since the metagame has really developed. Was never the dominant force that these Sapphire decks were. Was never the unfun, you can't play that the Emerald discard decks were. And so, if you are upset that Rabbit and Goat bouncing and being played over and over again is kind of annoying, I mean, that's one argument, but I don't know that it's a good argument to make about banning it.
It's so expensive, too. Like, that's the thing, right? Like
right.
You guys, as in Ruby Amethyst players, aren't inking to 15 like Ruby Sapphire, and
we are playing very fair.
and so doing a play bounce replay, like, yeah, that you got a lot out of that, and that's awesome. It cost you a lot. It's probably your whole turn. Yes, it might be
it was turn 8.
It doesn't bother me. And then like the idea of, when are you gonna get rid of Rabbit? I'm like, look, if you don't want them to bounce it and replay it and get more cards that way, then kill it while it's on the board.
Right.
Like,
right.
They'll get one as it's going out, and then it'll be off the field.
And Rabbit is so killable in a way that, like, it, like, all of the arguments for the Flaversham ban, right? You know, the fact that it's a 1/6 and doesn't get one-shotted by a lot of cards. Like, you have to commit multiple characters probably into it. Rabbit doesn't have that.
Yeah.
Rabbit dies to almost everything that that Hyrum dies to, and then some, and also draws half as many cards in the process.
Yeah.
So yeah. I don't buy... I want to caution people from going down this slippery slope. This is the first bans that have existed in this game, in the actual name of bans. Bucky was banned in everything but name. And one of Steve's responses was, yeah, Bucky was a special exception. There were extenuating circumstances around that time. And we even said at the time that this was going to be an exception, that we were always going to be looking towards bans. And people knew that. In the rule book, they talked about bans. And so we knew that this was coming. I get people are freaking out because we didn't know that it was coming at this time. We didn't know that they were paying attention to our misdeeds. And behind their back, behind their DLC backs, you know.
What would it have mattered anyway? Flaversham, for instance, if we were like, oh my god, they're watching us and I think they might ban this. You're still playing that. Like, yeah. What?
All I'm saying is there's no reason to assume that now that they have banned two cards, that they are just gonna go crazy and start banning everything.
They broke the seal.
Except not. All that this does is that it sets a precedent that I think is a pretty good precedent, which is, listen, when 70% of the metagame is one or two decks that overlap, yeah, we're probably gonna take action. And you know what? I think that's good. I think that's a good thing.
I obviously agree because I already said it, but
I know it hurts though.
No, my actual problem with it is that they caused it. They, with this last set, like, it's not like Flaversham's been around for like basically the whole time, and
yeah,
and it's the fact that they keep giving Sapphire all the good stuff. And so, like, to be like, oh, yeah, no, what has happened to Sapphire? We better step in immediately. Like, that's disingenuous. That you did this. You did this with your new cards.
It's the meme of the guy shooting and just like, how could Ravensburger have done this? And it's Ravensburger with the gun.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, two things I'll say. One, I mean, it's always going to be Ravensburger's fault, right? Nobody else is printing cards.
Sure.
But the second thing I'll say is that you're right. So there was just a crazy spike in Sapphire's power with this set. Like, why did they need four really good cards?
Yeah.
How is that possible? You know? And it's interesting to think of, like, an alternate future where if they had put Belle in this set, people still would have rightfully freaked out, right? Like, oh my god, Belle, this is amazing. Like, free 3/3 on turn one? That's great. But then think about, like, what if next set we get a crazy amber card that all the amber players are freaking out about? And then the next set we get a crazy amethyst one, right? And then after all of the colors, or some of the colors, had gotten that, then they put out Tamatoa. Mm-hmm. 6-cost Tamatoa, right? So if they had like leveled out this power spike, I don't want to call it power creep, but you know, if they had leveled out this power spike a little bit.
It did no creeping.
If they had leveled this out a little bit more, if they had given all the other colors kind of deck warping cards, then maybe all of these cards could coexist at the same time.
Yes. Well, that's what I meant when I said it was their fault. Like,
Right. Yeah. No, I know. I just wanted to get that shot in. There are several ways that a card game manages their metagame, right? As we saw this week, ban lists are one way to do that. Almost every card game has a ban list in some shape or form. And ban lists as a base level for all games are used as a way to make sure that dominant cards, dominant strategies are not too dominant or too oppressive. And so they'll ban problematic cards. That is a way to manage a metagame, right? Certain games take it further. And that is the only way, really, that they manage a metagame is via ban list updates. Or something similar. Like Yu-Gi-Oh! Has a ban list, and they also have restricted lists where they limit the number of copies of a card that you can have in a deck. And in that way, they are molding the intended experience, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't like restricted lists. I think that card games are already a balancing act between consistency and luck. And by creating restricted lists, you are automatically tilting that into luck's favor, because, you know, if they'd come out on Tuesday and said Hyrum is too good, we're going to restrict them to one copy in any deck, well, I hope that I draw my Hyrums every time just because I'm lucky, and I hope that my Sapphire opponents never draw their Hyrums because they're unlucky.
Does Sapphire have any... You know what? I'm being stupid. I'm trying to figure out how to create a deck based off of a restriction. So just go ahead.
Oh.
I was wondering if Sapphire has any return characters from the discard options. Like that's not
that I know of.
That's not what the Sapphire Hades does. That sends a card to the group.
It's the opposite.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Yeah. Well, no, that's more of an Amber thing. But, you know, like, Sapphire decks do have search effects. Or they have one. They have Merlin. They have Merlin Wizard that you can search for a card.
Well,
and so, you know, like...
But I'm not talking about trying to get him still on the board. I'm trying to make him, like, act as though he's
last.
More than one.
Right, yeah. I don't know. I don't like restricted lists. I get why people do, because it feels like it's a good middle ground between outright banning something and keeping it as a massive threat. But I don't like the managing company putting their thumb on the scale towards luck more than they do already, because they design the cards. I think it just... It is banning by a different name a lot of the times, because if you have it, then it's not banned. And if you don't have it, then it's banned. And it all relies on the one in X number of games that you get it or you don't get it. And if you thought Bucky was a feel bad, you know, sitting down across from somebody, and like, if Bucky had been restricted instead of errated, you sit down against an Emerald Steel player and they have a turn two Bucky and you're like, well, cool, guess I lose. You got your one copy, and that feels terrible. And I'm very pleased, because one of Steve's answers in the Q&A was directly to that question, and he had something very similar to say, which was, if you get it in a game, if you restrict it and then you get it in a game, it feels like we didn't do anything about the problem. And I think that that's a very clean answer to that. So I'm hoping that that means that Ravensburger is not considering restricted or limited lists and are really just going to be using ban lists moving forward.
That's kind of what it sounded like to me, at least where they're generally headed.
So if you want to manage your metagame without being heavy-handed with the ban lists, you could also errata cards. We saw that they did that with Bucky. They said that that was an extreme example, but who knows the next time that we're going to receive a card that rises to the level of being an extreme example.
So that's something I've actually been thinking about, right? So people have come up with so many different ways that, like before the ban even, that Flaversham should be errated. Either he only draws one card, or he doesn't draw on the play, or he's not a 1/6, he's maybe a 1/4, maybe he's more expensive. I don't know. Like lots of different ways.
Yeah, yeah.
So part of the implication, I believe, of banning Flaversham now when he's supposedly been a problem for a very long time, and now with the new Sapphire cards, it's just too much. It feels like they've been thinking about it for a while, but they just didn't want to go for it. I feel like that means that they had plenty of time to do a non-errata-errata, where instead of errating Flaversham, they could have, like, 3 sets ago planned that this set they would release a more reasonable version, not necessarily of Flaversham, but of something more along the lines of what he should have been.
Yeah.
And then ban Flaversham. It's effective.
I can see that.
It effectively errates him in that he's there then, or something is there then, in a more power reasonable form.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I think that that's really interesting because, like, there are a lot of knobs that can be turned on these cards. You know, you can mess with the costs, you can mess with the ink ability, you can mess with their attack, their strength or willpower, you can mess with how much they quest for. With Flaversham, you can mess with, does he draw on enter and quest or only on one of them, and how many, you know, how many items does he have to banish? You know, all these things. Like, there's so many different knobs that they could turn. One, I am very pleased that they did not errata him this week.
Oh, yeah. That feels messy, and I don't want it.
Yep. Yep. So, you know, just getting that out in front. I don't like erratas. I think the Bucky errata was a mistake. They should have just banned Bucky.
Oh, and you love these little vague things they say about he was a special circumstance.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, man. You realized it was dumb, and you're like, well, okay, we won't do that again.
Well, so that's what I mean, is that, like, the Flaversham ban kind of puts the Bucky errata into a different light, is because I think the errata, you know, and they said this at the time, which was like, well, we're releasing in other areas, in other demographics now, and we don't want them to not have a full set of cards. And so we're errating Bucky. They're going to have the newest version at release. We'll get you guys the updated version who have already had it. And so the fact that they didn't errata Flaversham, I think, lends more support to that argument, because they clearly are okay with banning cards. So it must have been something outside of the game that made them errata Bucky as opposed to ban him. interesting point, though, is I read that this ban doesn't take place in Japan and China. And I wonder if that's because they're lagging behind, that they want the Asian countries, the Asian regions, to have the same metagame that other people had. And so maybe when they get to the release of set 7, that's when they will ban Hiram in Japan and China. But that's crazy. Like, what a weird system that we've arrived at.
Yeah.
So it does, I mean, like, but those two things, you know, not banning Bucky because other regions were getting him for the first time, and then not banning Flaversham in those regions yet, quote unquote, I don't know. Those are actually logically consistent. And
yeah,
it's like,
yeah, I'd forgotten the first and didn't know the second. So
yeah, so it's interesting. But to your point about, like, maybe they could come out with an updated version of Hiram, I don't have an issue with that. I think the only issue is that they would have to really know that they were going to ban Hiram. Because, like, the timelines that they're working on are at least a year out. They probably already have, like, set 12 printed at this point. They would have to really know. Like, think of it this way. Let's say they come out with an updated Hiram that has turned one or multiples of those knobs, right? Maybe he is a 4-cost inkable 1/5 that when he enters and quests, you draw one card when you sack an item. If that card comes out in set 12, because they were expecting Hiram to be too good in the metagame for set 7, but then he ended up not being too good, People are gonna be either A, very annoyed that there is just a worse Hiram. Like, what? Why does this card exist? Like, people did that with Royal Tantrum. People are like, why would I play Royal Tantrum? It is a worse version. It is a far worse version of Hiram in every single way. So people are either gonna be upset that there's a worse version of Hiram, or if they didn't turn those knobs well enough, then now you have Hiram 5, 6, 7, and 8.
Sure.
Which I guess is sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy. Feels bad. But then you're kind of hoisted by your own petard in that instance.
I don't know that I would play 8 Flaversham's. A lot of people, and by a lot of people, I mean I heard somebody say once, aren't even playing 4.
I don't know. I'm not a Sapphire player. Divorce it from Hiram then. You know, just think of any powerful card. Fortisphere. Fortisphere is bad popsicle 5, 6, 7, and 8.
Yeah. But it it comes back to the same thing of that wasn't a problem until Bell and until Scrooge.
Yeah, but that wasn't my point. My point was, if an effect is good enough, a worse version of that same card will just be played in addition to. Maybe not at the full 8, but it will just be played. If they came out with a Rapunzel that only healed and drew you 2 cards, it would still be played probably alongside the original Rapunzel.
My point, though, was that, like, he's been around since set 2. And they said he's been something we've been watching for a long time. You know? So that's 5 sets that were released. Maybe they couldn't deal with create a replacement in set 7 But I don't think it would, like, they could easily have a plan for a replacement. Although maybe they do. What am I even
saying?
Yeah,
I mean, like, they might. And there were rumors around about how when we were in the first year, they had already designed, like, the first 10 sets. So they run, like, Ravensburger is not an old company in terms of card games. They don't own the printers that they use. Unfortunately, a lot of this is going to be speculation, but just knowing logistics of the world, they have to have such a massive lead time to print all of these cards, like all of these boxes. They have to have those designs locked in way before we ever get wind of them.
Yeah, you know? I mean, I guess that makes sense. I remember Dean just flabbergasted when they announced like 3 sets at once.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, excuse me, what?
And that's why, I mean, that's why Steve during the Q&A was like, I'm not saying anything that is not related to specifically these 2 cards being banned. It's because they know what is going to be happening 2 years in advance. You know, because not only are all of the cards already printed and sitting in warehouses for the next year.
Oh my God.
But they've already designed all of the cards for the year after that.
Matt.
You know?
Matt.
Do you want to plan a heist?
Matt, let's go find the warehouse.
Is this going to be a heist podcast?
Oh my God, let's make it a heist podcast.
Ink a heist, play a heist.
Classic turn one move.
So, the other way that you can manage a metagame, if you are not going to keep up on ban lists, which it sounds like they're not going to be like super heavy-handed about it, and you're not going to errata cards,
what else
there is one
do?
Other way that you can manage a metagame. And, Amy, I have excellent news for you. You might get to play with Hyrum again. But what is that way? So this is going to be unpopular to a certain segment of the population. However, the way that you do that is through a set rotation. And what that looks like is at a certain point, Ravensburger just says, this set number through this set number is no longer available to be played in our core constructed format. Steve was very clear during the Q&A that these bans are effective for anybody running a core constructed tournament. Now, that's really the only format that we have right now. Really can only play core constructed if you are playing a legitimate Lorcana tournament. Stores have come up with a whole bunch of other things. I guess you could run limited. That's not core constructed. That's a limited tournament. You could run a sealed event.
And I was going to say, how about some Rise of the Floodborne Pack Rush?
Pack Rush, yes. But if you're running a tournament where you bring a deck, unless your store is coming up with something like Porcana or whatever commander variant of the week people are playing, Core Constructed is the only format. And he was like, Flaversham and Fortisphere are banned in our Core Constructed format. Okay, well, that's unfortunate. But what if, dream with me here, what if we had another format? What if we had a Legacy Constructed format? And what that would look like is you say, Ravensburger says, sets 1 through 4 are no longer eligible to be played in Core Constructed. Instead, you will now have to play with sets 5 through 8. And those are the only cards that are available in Core Constructed. If you would like, we have developed an alternate format called Legacy Constructed. And what that is that you can play any card that we have printed, regardless of the set number.
So obviously right now he's said that it's banned, they are banned for core constructed. But that doesn't mean that they wouldn't be banned for legacy. Correct.
Except, here's what I will say. Consider a rotation that happens when set 9 comes out. I think that's probably too soon, to be honest. People are still a little hesitant by it. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, set 9 releases and they rotate out sets 1 through 4. So now what Core Constructed looks like is sets 5 through 9. At the same time, they create a legacy format that is sets 1 through 9. Each format is going to have its own ban list. So the legacy constructed is going to have its own ban list, but maybe there's nothing on it. Maybe they say that they're not going to preemptively ban anything because that format is brand new. And we banned Hyrum in set 7, and we've had 2 sets worth of cards since then. So remember back to what we were saying before, which was the power spike that we observed in Sapphire decks in set 7 was way too sharp. And is probably a lot of the reasoning behind having to take action to ban something. But if they had waited and spread out those 4 Sapphire cards that were very high power level, if they had waited and allowed the other colors counterplay and powerful cards of their own, it might not have needed to come to this, right?
Right.
So, in a different context, if we have set 7 and if we have Reign of Jafar and we have Fabled that come out and do release good cards for the other colors and counterplay that doesn't exist right now, Hyrum might end up not being as annoying or oppressive as it was in our core constructed format, sets 1 through 7.
Yeah, totally. That makes sense.
Rotation is a very divisive topic. It's pretty unpopular because people don't like being told that they can't play things. And I get that. I mean, this week is evidence enough of that, right? But I think rotation allows for a metagame that doesn't need to be at the whims of a ban list and is also constantly evolving, which I think is nice to kind of refresh everybody's kind of palette. Because, you know, if you are upset about fox and rabbits and goats, rotation is the answer, baby. You know, like, if sets 1 through 4 get rotated out, we don't have any of those things anymore.
Right.
We don't have any rabbits. We don't have any goats. We don't have any mem foxes. You know, like, we don't have any of those. We don't have Lucky Dime. We don't have Big Tamatoa. We have 6-cost Tamatoa. But in a format that doesn't have Lucky Dime, is it good? Is it bad? I don't know. But that's super interesting, right? Like, that is a super interesting, brand new world that we have just been thrown into.
Yeah, I think I don't really have anything against it. What would be interesting is to see, like, if people adapt to it early. Like, as soon as they announce something that it's going to happen, like, will they stop playing the cards immediately or wait until... The reason I say this is, like, I feel like if I had known that Flourishing was going to be banned, I would probably have already pivoted to something else.
Yeah, well, we didn't have any big tournaments to plan for, you know. And with the effective immediately ban, it is interesting because on the one hand, I get the idea of wanting to prepare, wanting to give enough people enough time to prepare for the set champs that are coming up next month. And you need to ban it as soon as possible so that even if you were to switch away from a Hyrum deck, that doesn't mean everybody else will if the ban doesn't take effect until next week or whatever. It is a little rough for people in different time zones who may have been playing at their weekly Tuesday league and they're like, oh, my deck is illegal now? Like, that's a little annoying. But I mean, like, you would, part of the nice thing about rotation is that you would know well ahead of time what's happening. Because typically a rotation, in the games that have it, they have it on a set schedule. So it would be like every August you would get a new set, and that new set, the release of that new set would trigger pushing out the older sets. So it wouldn't happen on like a one-to-one. Sure. You would kind of have this ebb and flow where we have sets 1 through 8 right now, set 9 releases, which pushes out sets 1 through 4. So now we have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then we'd go 10, 11, 12 throughout that year. And then set 13 would push out sets 5 through 9. Now, I don't know if that's the cadence that they want to take with it. They could totally do it, you know, next year with the release of set 13, push out sets 1 through 4. And then you get a much bigger pool of cards in your core constructed format, right? The point is that you would know ahead of time, okay, in August at the release of this set, I'm no longer going to be able to play these cards. And people start coming up with decks for the new format. Mm-hmm. And then the legacy format also evolves at the same time, because that's going to be all sets. You know, when set 13 releases and you have sets 6 through 13 available in your core set format, legacy is still 1 through 13. And as we've seen, we're getting bigger and better cards all the time. And so your legacy format is updating at the same time, except you also can play Merlin Foxes. That's not a card.
No.
So, yeah, I mean, like, you would know ahead of time and people would theorize, and I'm sure that, you know, our stores would say, "Hey, we're having a new meta party." I mean, it's the same as releasing right now. It's like, hey, we're not going to run an official tournament on Thursday. We're going to run a set 8 tournament now that all the cards have been spoiled.
You really distracted me with Merlin Fox, because now I'm like...
Merlin Fox.
I was like, should there be a Merlin Fox?
Right.
How about a Mim Goat?
Maybe a Floodborn version of those.
Yeah. And they do the same thing. And so everybody's mad.
Because, oh God, now we have Mim Rabbit. Ugh, rabbits 5, 6, 7, and 8.
Can you imagine that deck if the entire bounce package was redone and reversed?
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Well, I was trying to think of what a Merlin Fox would be, and it would be like, whenever this enters or leaves, return a character to your hand. Ooh. It's like, oh, is that good? Is that
yeah?
Is that bad? It's whenever this character enters or leaves, return a character to your hand, rush, and it's like a 4/4 or something.
Yeah, but if it leaves and then you lose another character because it left.
Yeah, but then you just wouldn't have it. Or maybe it's like, or banish or discard this card. You know, like there's got to be, because if you don't have another character when it leaves, you know, right. Like who cares?
Okay, but I'm saying like as your opponent, then they're coming after your Merlin Fox.
Yeah.
And then... they're getting 2 for the price of 1.
Right, yeah. They kill your fox. Well, maybe. Like, if they kill your fox and then you are like, cool, bounce my rabbit. Thanks, chump.
Oh. Yeah. I think that's still net positive for them.
Honestly, I think that that's a more fair design than what the current memes are. where you read a Mimfox and you're like, oh, I get it. The downside is that I can't play this on an empty board and I have to bounce one of my own characters. And then we said, but what if that's not a downside?
Right.
But I think because you don't always control, you always control when something is played. You don't always control when something leaves. I think if there was a series of like Mim cards, maybe Merlin cards, whatever. But if there was a series of cards that had that same bounce, but on leaves instead of play, that actually might be a more fair version of the card.
Maybe. Yeah. That comes back to the idea that Ravensburger has these ideas and they don't really get how it's going to be played.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Steve did say this, and this is what I've been saying for a little while, which is, and this is going to be another topic, but like the whole argument for net decking, you know, like going online, finding a list that somebody else made, making that list and playing it. You are never going to be better than the collective knowledge of every other player that exists.
Oh, for sure.
And that is the same for Ravensburger also. So their play design team can be as many top level card game players as they want, but they only have a certain amount of time and they are fallible. Yeah. And they get tunnel vision and there are last minute changes that happen. I mean, Magic is full of these examples and they are going to print a card and they're going to say, hey, we play tested this card. We tweaked this card. It was a little too powerful. So we did this, that, and the other thing. And then the moment that it gets sent out to the public, somebody goes, actually, have you seen this 2-card combo? And Ravensburger is going to be like, oh, God damn it. No, we didn't see that. Why do you remember that common from set one? Good talk. This was a good talk. I think this is a worthy episode zero.
Yeah.
So I'm going to look up like our social, like we're all over the place, right? We're in a whole bunch of different websites. And if you want to find us, you can find us. I just need to figure out what we're called. In the meantime, Amy, you told me something off camera. Or off mic, that I really wanted to give you an opportunity to expand on. So you told me that you think that booster packs should only contain one rare card instead of two or maybe three. You said it should be limited to exactly one. Do you want to expand on that?
Oh, I just don't want other people to have the cards. That's what it is. How's that?
Oh, gotcha. Okay. So, yeah. I mean, like, yeah. I mean, yeah. A little selfish, but whatever. I mean, that's your opinion.
Yeah. That's what
that's your opinion that nobody forced on you. And, right. You know, you got to own it.
Yeah. I want to have the cards.
Yeah, for sure.
I actually go to Walmart and Target and not the game stores because they tend to guard their stuff a little bit more. But I go and I take out the extra rares and I put in some commons.
Oh. Yeah.
That's what I do.
Good on you for sticking to your convictions and really, really going for it. So you can find us like all of the socials. We're on Twitter as Inca Podcast. We're on TikTok as Inca Podcast. We're on Blue Sky as Inca Podcast. We're on Instagram as Inca Podcast Play a Podcast, unfortunately. We're on YouTube as Inca Podcasts, where you can watch our podcast. If you want to listen to it, we're on Spotify, Apple, you know, playlists, players, Podcast Addict, whatever. We're also at IncaPodcast.com. And like seriously, we have several episodes already recorded. This was not going to be the first one that we were going to release, but I think we're going to release this pretty soon, and so then we're going to start getting on a regular schedule releasing episodes. Until that happens, we have no comments to read, but yeah, we would love
to read some comments. I have a comment right now.
You have a comment.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
My comment is that my old ass looked up what blue sky is. And the first search result is blue sky fertility. Is that where we are asking for comments?
If you want to go to Blue Sky Fertility and ask them about Ink a Podcast, we will not turn down the free advertising. You typically will not find us there. No. Anyway, that's our show. We are going to let you guys go. We have a heist to plan.
And not just at your local Walmart.
Ba-da-ba. Cool. That was great. That was really good.
Yeah.
Like, did you feel that? How good that was?